You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
And welcome back to the Talking Blues podcast. It's been a while, but we're back. It was very, very quiet for the last couple weeks. A lot of like rumors, but nothing really firm. And here we go, per se, according to Fabrizio Romano. But now we have that now with Romelu Lukaku going back to Inter Milan on loan. It's going to be an 8 million loan fee, 8 million euro loan fee plus add-ons. His salary will be around 8 million for his loan spell. He actually took a pay cut, of course, to go back to Inter. There's no buy option or obligation clause, and add-ons are related to team performance. Here we go. Lukaku is back to where I guess he always wanted to be. It's just so frustrating, I'm going to be honest. The interview, just the bad play. It's a very upsetting situation, but at least we can kind of move past him for this season and find a replacement, because he just obviously did not fit and was not happy here, which, you know, partially I think is his fault and partially is Tuchel's fault. So it kind of goes both ways there. So obviously you can tell I'm doing the intro, so Josh is not here today for this big Lukaku breaking news episode, I guess if you want to call it that. But Peter is here to talk a little bit about Lukaku. I know he's a big fan of his as well. So Peter, how are you doing today? And what are your thoughts on the Lukaku back to Inter, his place of love, where he's always wanted to go back, of course, right after he signed for Chelsea?
I'm here. I'm doing well. And I mean, like you said, Alex, it's just frustrating because obviously he's back at Inter now. So what, we paid like 90 million euros for a one-year loan deal? Just crazy. I mean, me and Alex kind of were talking about this before we started recording, but it's basically all you can do. You just have to hope that he goes back to Inter and he absolutely dominates Serie A, scoring goal after goal after goal, brilliant performance after brilliant performance, so that after the loan's up, we can either sell him back to Inter or sell him to another club who thinks he's back or back to his best or something, and we can get at least a good amount of the funds we paid for him back. But I mean, It really is just, for being so hyped and for it being such a big signing, everyone was so excited. It was like, oh, Lukaku's coming back. Just such a rough ride, bumpy ride. So many things that shouldn't have happened. The interview, getting benched, just being, just like you said, Alex, all the things you said, just bad performances. It's just unfortunate, and it didn't work out. And all we can hope for now is that the loan move works out for him, which will end up benefiting us in the long run, because I really think it's kind of his time at Chelsea is done. I mean, he still has probably three more years after this loan deal expires on his contract. But I mean, I don't think we'll see him back in a Chelsea shirt probably. So, I mean, it is what it is. Bad move, didn't work out, but hopefully we recoup some of the funds after the loan deal on a permanent transfer for him.
Here's the thing, though. I don't think you're ever going to get that 100 million or whatever we paid for him back. Like, I don't think you're going to get that height. I think even if he scores 30 goals, which I think is realistic that he can do, 25, 30 goals, I think the most you're getting is 60 or 70 million, whether that be from Inter or another club. But I think Chelsea will end up accepting that and cutting their losses. you know, it's unfortunate, but, you know, not great moves that have been made lately. Lukaku was obviously a mistake to bring in. It was just, I remember at the time, right, it was that rush of we need a number nine. Obviously, we had Havertz, we had Werner, but neither of those guys really fit that natural number nine. Lukaku, you know, fits that to a T. It's just that's really not how Tuchel wanted to play, and Lukaku just didn't fit in at all. Obviously, started the season well, but, you know, it kind of seemed like once he came back from that long injury after the interview, it almost seemed like we were catering to him less. Whereas when he originally got here, it felt like Tuchel was almost catering to his play, style. So I think that was also part of the problem. I'll never say never to Lukaku at Chelsea, though. I think there is a possibility. I'd say right now it's 75%, 25% that I'd say 75% that the, you know, he's never going to play in a Chelsea shirt again. But I do think there is a small chance, especially if he maybe has a mediocre season, let's say 15 goals, something like that, that he could come back. But I think he's going to bang goals for Inter, of course, because it's just going to be the way it is. He's probably going to score 40, and it's going to drive us nuts. But anyway, Lukaku, here we go to Inter. He's gone. I mean, he's not really gone, though. I think that's what, you know, because now we're all going to be watching the Serie A, right? We're going to be watching Inter. We're going to be like, oh my God, because you're going to have to be rooting for Lukaku as much as you don't want to be rooting for him. You know, for Chelsea's sake, you need to be rooting for Lukaku to hopefully succeed. So that way we get the maximum possible value out of him when we eventually sell him. And he's not young either. What is he, 29 now? So you don't really have much. You can't really afford to put him on another loan after this season. That's kind of my thinking, because after that, you're just not going to get the good value for him. I mean, this is just really frustrating, and some of these poor deals are really coming back to bite us. And I guess that's where our next point is here. Marina Granovskaya and Bruce Beck are both gone from Chelsea. And, you know, now we will have Todd Boehly is kind of taking over as chairman in all the negotiations, and kind of this old wing of the transfer market, our negotiators are gone. You know, we've had some good deals, right? We've, you know, N'Golo Kanté, you know, Ben Chilwell, Thiago Silva, just trying to name a few good ones, a few bad ones, obviously Kepa, Lukaku, you know, you could say Werner if you want to say that. I don't know if that's necessarily a bad deal at the time, but, yeah, it didn't turn out to be the best, but those guys are gone. Peter, what do you think about that? What do you think about Boehly also like inserting himself immediately into the negotiations himself?
Well, I think it was time for change. I mean, as much as you said with these good transfers, you also said how there have been bad transfers. It was necessary, I think. I mean, as much as you can say, oh, Marina was doing a very good job, I think there comes a point where you kind of just have to switch it up and you have to try something new. I don't know if Boehly's going to be incredibly good at negotiations, but he obviously is the owner of the, or part owner of the Dodgers, and I believe he does do some negotiations there, so it's not like he's like randomly just trying to be something he's not. And I mean, the Dodgers have been exceptionally successful in baseball. I'm not the most popular sport, so probably not a lot of you watch it, but he's done a good job there, so I trust that he can make some moves in the market, and I think he's definitely willing to spend. I mean, we've been linked to a lot of players, most of which we're going to talk about. But we're only going to talk about really the players that, from reliable sources, have been like, Chelsea have interest in these players. But I think Boehly is going to be able to negotiate. I think he's going to do a good job. I think he's going to be a needed change, and we're going to make some moves in the market. Or maybe I'm just hoping that this will happen, and it will end up being a complete shit show. We'll see, but I am confident in this market. We've been linked to good players, and if we can get a few of them, I'll be extremely happy with our window.
Yeah, agreed. So I guess now we'll talk about some of the players that have been rumored to Chelsea, some more stronger rumors, some less strong rumors. So let's start with, you know, the saga that seems like is going on forever. I saw a meme that we're going to sign this player in 2035, and he's going to have a gray beard. Jules Koundé from Sevilla. It sounds like his asking price is going to be down from that 80 million mark to about 55 to 60 million. and they will not have to pay that release clause number. Negotiations haven't really taken place yet. It seemed like they wanted to focus on Lukaku and kind of this behind the scenes issues with the with Marina Granovskaya, Bruce Buck, etc. But now it looks like they're going to be pushing their focus towards some of these targets. Koundé, it sounds like on personal terms with Chelsea, he's still is happy to come. Barca is interested, but are not willing to pay the fee that Sevilla are asking for. But Chelsea, it looks like, will be willing to do so. Peter, I mean, what do you think? We thought he was going to join last year. It's kind of like at this point, it's like you're kind of writing it down in the team sheet already that he's going to be joining Chelsea. But I'm excited if he does join Chelsea. I think he's a very good player. I think he fits into that right center back role perfectly for us. I think he can play in a back four as well if need be. Obviously, he's done so at Sevilla. And, I'm excited to see what he can do. And he gives that flexibility to kind of play right wing back if needed. In kind of like how ASP has played there in a more, if we're looking to set up a little bit more defensively.
Well, I will just say it is Chelsea. So, I mean, never say that it's 100% going to happen. Cause I mean, we've bottled transfers before, but it is looking more and more likely. I mean, I think, like you said, Alex, I think we're focusing on more the outgoings, getting Lukaku out, getting everything done first so we can have a full, just be completely focused on the players that we want and the market and what we're trying to do. And I think Koundé, like you said, he'd fit in perfectly at right center back. He's great, talented, and play. He's definitely worth that price. I mean, if you want to go, I think we went more in depth originally, probably last year, last transfer window, and we talked about him more, but I mean, nothing's really changed. He's still fitting great there, and I mean, he'd be a great signing. And I mean, like you said, some people just chiseling his name in the team sheet, but I'm not going to go that far yet, but it's more and more likely, and I would be extremely, extremely happy to bring him into the team, because I think he's just a class player.
Yeah, completely agree there. So now, next player we have here, we know Chelsea are going to look for some wing back depth, especially at the left wing back role, but also at the right wing back role. And this is where this player comes in from the Ligue 1, from Lens, Jonathan Klaus, the 29-year-old. He's the Frenchman. He plays right midfield, right back. He's kind of perfect for that right wing back role. In his last season, 37 appearances, 5 goals, 11 assists, and he was in the starting 11 92% of the time. And, he is very much, good value at what people are saying. His current market value is around like 15 million, but it sounds like Chelsea are going to be, if they wanted to, would be able to get him for around 10 million. I think he would be a cheap solution. I think it would be a great deal. 29, so he's not the youngest, but I've watched him a couple times in the French League. I'm not going to pretend like I watch the French League constantly, but I think he is certainly a solid player. And I'd be reasonably happy. I wouldn't be jumping up and down, but I'd certainly be content with Chelsea bringing him in as some depth on the right wing back role.
I mean, that's basically what you said. It's not something I'd be jumping up and down for joy with, but it's a signing we need to make. We need to get more depth. I mean, we saw what happens when Reece James and Ben Chua went down with injuries. I mean, we really didn't have any wing back depth, and we were just struggling to create chances because a lot of the attack from the Tuchel system comes from those wings, which means if you have to put Aspi out there and not someone who's really accustomed to that role, it becomes much harder to have to play fluid football, to create these chances. And I mean, it's not like we're spending our entire budget on him. It's not like signing him will determine whether or not we can get Koundé. So, I mean, just I'd be extremely happy. It's not like 29, obviously not the youngest, you're not expecting him to be the highlight of your window. It's just someone you can bring in who's solid, who you know can fit that role, who you know you can rely on if you need to have some depth. If an injury occurs, or if you need to give some rest, you can have someone that can just fit right in and have success there, which I think is definitely needed. And I think it would be a Klaus signing.
Yep. I really hope I remember to cut that one out. Anyway, that was Peter. Let's not do that again. Next player we have here, Raheem Sterling. There's been a lot of talk about him to Chelsea. Chelsea are very interested. And there's not been any like official talks yet per the sources right now. But it is assumed now that Chelsea will start to engage Manchester City in a deal for Raheem Sterling. Last season, he had 30 appearances, 13 goals, and 6 assists, so nothing crazy. But he was only in the starting 11 61% of the time last season for City. And he obviously has flexibility. He's mostly on the left wing, but I think if need be, he could play on the right wing. And, you know, in general, I think he's a solid player, only 27 years old still. And, you know, I think there's possibility that he could really make a nice impact. Tuchel apparently really likes him, and it sounds like you could get him for around 35 to 40 million, which is a pretty good deal considering his market value is around 65 million, according to the transfer market, .us, whatever you want to call it. That's kind of like where I'm going off these transfer market values here, but, certainly an interesting proposition to bring him in, I think. So Peter, what do you think about it? I kind of think it's a little bit redundant, but I think for $35 million, it might be worth it.
I mean, bringing in solid players, you can't ever complain about. I think realistically, it'd be difficult for Man City to let him go for $35 million. I think it'd probably have to be maybe $50 million. But even then, you know what he can do. He's obviously not the most incredible player, obviously a bit of an actor. He's probably a better actor than a football player, but no, he's a good player. And I mean, I trust Tuchel. I just want this window to be about getting players that Tuchel wants, he likes, he knows will fit a system and thinks would have success. If Tuchel likes him, I'm all for it. I think I said it earlier, he's Prem proven. You know what he can do against big teams in the Prem and big games. You know he's talented. You know he's fast. I mean, as much as you say, oh, we have winger depth, when you look at it, I mean, most of our wingers were extremely disappointing last season. And so, I mean, you don't really want to spend an insane amount on that position because you know we have talented players that just weren't fitting up to it. But bringing in someone like Sterling, who is experienced and is talented, for a price that hopefully would be less than his market value, I think that'd be a great signing. And I think I'd be willing to spend a good amount of I'd be willing to spend some sterlings on him.
All right, this has got to stop. You know, I'm sure Josh is going to listen to this, and I'm going to make sure he understands what you're doing in this episode, so you will never be saying these things again. Next player, we've got Ousmane Dembele from Barcelona. Obviously, he's a free agent. And it doesn't look like he's going to come back to Barcelona. And I'm very intrigued by Ousmane Dembele. We saw what he can do under Tuchel. What he did under Tuchel at Dortmund was special. And, you know, Tuchel said that he's the most talented player he's ever coached. The fact that he, you know, with both the left and the right, he's just sensational. Obviously, right now his market value is down from where it was when Barcelona bought him for whatever, 100 odd million. And now it's down to 33 million. He's 25 years old, but I think last year he had a pretty, you know, obviously didn't play a lot. His injury issues are the main concern with him, but I wouldn't mind taking a whack at him and seeing what he can do for Chelsea. 21 appearances last season, only one goal, but he did have 13 assists, and only 39% of the time was he in the starting 11. So definitely made an impact there. 13 assists is not something that goes unnoticed. So I'm excited to see what happens with him. I don't think he's going to stay at Barcelona. I saw a few clips on Twitter of him saying he's going to stay at Barcelona, but I'm not sure if that's true. So all sorts of weird rumors going on. So we'll see what happens with Dembele, but he's an odd one. I really want him. I think out of all the players besides Koundé, he's my number two that I want to keep or to get, not keep. We don't have him yet.
Well, see, obviously, like you said, Alex, you know, you've seen what he can do under Tuchel. You've seen he can have success, but it boils down to basically one thing. It's just injuries. Can you trust him to stay fit? Because you can see how much success he's had with Tuchel. You can see those 13 assists. You can see how dangerous he can be. Obviously, talented with both feet, great dribbler. He's just very, very talented. But can he stay on the pitch? Can he play? Because that's really the question. Are you willing to pay? His wages would probably be pretty high. Are you willing to pay a high amount of wages for someone who you might end up just paying hospital fees for. That's really the question. So really, I'm really like on the fence, because obviously I want to be like, oh yeah, let's go. He'll be great, because he would be if he can stay on the field. He would be great. He would fit the system. He would be something we need. I kind of said it with Sterling. Our wingers have been disappointing. We need someone that can go in, that can attack, that can create, that can give us chances and give us scoring opportunities. But can he provide us with scoring opportunities if he's injured? He can't. So that's really the question. I didn't realize that Alex loved him this much, but me, I'm much more tentative. I wouldn't complain if we signed him. I'd only complain if we signed him for on wages that were way, way, way too high. But I think he's talented. I understand he's talented. He has potential. He's still young. He'd be a great signing, but I don't personally trust him to stay fit. So I don't know. It's tough.
I'm going to be honest with you. The reason for the whole Dembele excitement for me is I loved watching him at Dortmund. I used to watch Dortmund all the time. I don't know why, to be honest, but I remember when Ousmane Dembele came to Dortmund and he was just lighting it up, obviously, before he went to Barcelona. So I just kind of have memories of him, nostalgia right there of his play. And I thought it was at that time, right, when he was at Dortmund, when he was, you know, going crazy there. I was always fascinated by the fact that he was so good with both feet. You know, it was kind of like inspirational too at the time. I guess I was still playing, so it was kind of an inspirational kind of someone I looked up to almost in that silly way of how amazing it was he was able to do it with both feet. But anyway, next or final piece of information or final player we're going to discuss today is one of our own, not someone we're looking to target, but someone who could be on their way out. Armando Broja obviously was on loan at Southampton, played very well last season, but it looks like West Ham is interested. There's a number of other teams, number of different teams that are interested in him, and Chelsea apparently could be willing to let him go for around a £30 million pound fee. I don't like this at all. I think this is a mistake. I don't want Chelsea to sell him at all. The only way I'd let it happen, to be honest, is if we can get Declan Rice back in return, like some sort of Broja plus money for Declan Rice. That would be the only way I'd do it. But I have a feeling Chelsea might sell him anyway. Not happy about this, though. I think he has a lot of potential to be very good. And I think he would fit Chelsea well.
I personally agree with you, Alex. I think it'd be a mistake to let him go. In limited games in Southampton, I don't watch Southampton, to be honest. They're not the most interesting team. But I always remember on Twitter, I'd be scrolling through and I'd be like, oh, Broja scored again. Oh, Broja came off the bench and he still scored. Oh, he scored again. And in, I mean, it's not like he's doing this in like the championship. This is a Prem team who play against good teams, and Broja was still scoring. And I mean, you said it earlier, Alex, with Lukaku gone. I just said Lukaku instead of Lukaku, whatever. We're going to need someone to come in, because right now at striker, we really only have Kai now. And as much as I want Kai to play every single game because of how talented he is, that's just unrealistic. And I think Broja would be a perfect player to play those games where Kai can't, because I think he'd fit the system. He's someone that we need. We just need a finisher. We need a finisher. And that was what Lukaku was supposed to be. But he wasn't. He was a finisher, but he was too bad at everything else to be able to get into positions to finish. But I think Broja is a bit more well-rounded, and I think we can't keep selling our young talent. Obviously, Tomori, Lamptey, Livermento, we have all these young players and we're selling them. And I mean, sometimes you have to trust the youth. I mean, it's not like we haven't been. Obviously, Reece James, Mason Mount. It's not like we haven't been, but I mean, Broja's very talented and I'd love to see him in the first team. I mean, even if we got Declan Rice in return, it'd have to be a steep discount, with including Broja. I think 30 million's just, that's too little for us to get back. I would only do it if it would be like, we'd get like Lewandowski, who obviously he's wanting to go to Barcelona. Tuchel's kind of interested in him. We're not really talking about that because I mean, it's basically 0% chance of it happening. But I mean, if it falls through with Barcelona and then suddenly we're in the lead, I'd be like, okay, we can sell Broja for 30 million to afford this Lewandowski transfer. But other than that, I mean, we can't keep selling our youth. Just like Gallagher, hopefully Gallagher comes in too next season. We just need to bring these players in. We need a backup striker anyway. Why sell him? And buy someone else when we have a talented guy right there.
It does seem that he does want regular first team football, so that could be the issue with Broja. But I think even then you have to send him out on loan or something. You can't just afford to sell him. We saw Tammy Abraham. Now he's tearing it apart in Serie A. And obviously it looks like, who knows, maybe we'll use that $75 million buyback clause in the next couple of years. I think it activates next summer. And I believe it's a 2-year window, I want to say. So either next summer or the following summer, we could buy him back for that price. Who knows? But I would definitely do something like $50-55 million plus Broja for Declan Rice or something like that. I wouldn't mind doing that. But besides that, I'd really rather keep him, whether that be on loan or in the first team. And, I guess that's it for all the transfer news for today. We'll have more coming up soon. Obviously, the market is intensifying. Things are moving quicker. More Chelsea news will be coming. Obviously, the big news of the day, Lukaku leaving to go back to Inter. Obviously, we didn't even talk about it that much because it kind of like everyone knew it was happening at this point, and we're kind of sick of talking about Lukaku. But obviously, still important to talk about. And we'll see, we'll see what happens next in the next few days. That's it for today's episode. We'll be back next time. Josh should hopefully be back with us, and hopefully we'll have some more transfer news to discuss. Maybe we'll talk about some targets that we're interested in going into the summer transfer window and some moves that we hope Chelsea will make. A lot of clubs are making moves, and we're not really making any signings. So a little bit nerve-wracking right now, us and Manchester United kind of sitting on our asses. So let's see what happens now that this Lukaku deal has gone through. See you all next time. Peace.
Welcome to the All 80s Movies Podcast.
I'm Bill.
And I'm Jason, and this is the podcast where we talk about the blockbusters, the flops, and everything in between from one of the freshest decades for movies, the 1980s. So whether you're a brain, a jock, a valley girl, or a Jedi, we've got some 80s classics for you.
Do these movies stand the test of time? Are we discovering something new? Is there an 80s movie we're finally watching for the first time?
Join us each week as we dive into the cinematic nostalgia that inspired and influenced a generation. From the hits to the cult classics, we'll discuss our earliest memories, favorite scenes, fun facts, and our not-so-favorite movie moments, too.
It's the All 80s Movies Podcast, now available on all major streaming platforms. Please subscribe and happy listening.